You can attract someone who's pretty badass with equity that you might not be able to get in a freelancer or a contractor. And again, they've got other clients and they've got no skin in the game, you know, and you got to manage them, right? So it keeps coming full circle back to the situation where a very small team that's at the equity level, I think, can make more for everyone than being stingy with the equity and trying to keep it all to yourself, going in, basically going into debt right from the beginning. Because if you got a startup and you hire employees or contractors right from the beginning, you're going in the hole, right? I like to get to profitable as soon as possible. Welcome to Seven Figure Small, the podcast that adds to your playbook of strategies and tactics to attract an audience and build your business, all without investors or employees. I'm your host, serial digital entrepreneur, Brian Clark. Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in.
So, Brian, you and I have talked a lot about Web3 over the last year plus, and we're kind of in this interesting time in Web3 right now where the hype has really quieted down. But that doesn't mean that the work has stopped. And in fact, when you really dig in and look around, you see that the two benefits that have been most talked about in Web3, that we've talked about the most, community and collaboration, are being done in really powerful ways right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting point because, you know, all this talk about decentralization, and that's a real thing to get people to move away from platforms like Facebook, Instagram, what have you. But you can pretty much decentralize anytime you want, you know, just build your own website, host, you know, build your own email list. That's decentralized. We don't really need new tools. What we need is more will to operate independently and then, you know, have other forms of community and collaboration that root up from that. But you and I have been doing this as long as we've known each other. And actually, my first paid membership community, Third Tribe, was in 2008. Mm-hmm. And it's been weird. Like, people have reminded me that they were involved in that way back when. I'm like, wow, that's a blast from the past. But yeah, we've been doing community since 2008. Every single, you know, we've always had one in place. We started up the Unemployable community as soon as I came back from sabbatical. So yeah, check the box there. But I think probably the most potent, you know, aspect of my own career, other than my own skill set, I guess, would be collaboration, more specifically partnering. The only thing I started really by myself, well, I started Copyblogger by myself until partners became involved there. I started Unemployable and Further by myself, but brought you two in to that eventually. So I guess I just have this propensity for partnering. But if you think in terms of the personal enterprise concept where you're kind of building your own little mini empire of properties because of what you bring to the enterprise, it's a smart strategy, right? And if you can get one thing to be a home run with a couple of other base hits, it's an interesting thing. But yeah, you know, the thing that has me thinking about this in a late stage personal enterprise, which is what I would call what I have, is, for example, Digital Commerce Partners. That's our SEO agency. Johnny Naster does a badass job, you know, and that's high ticket. $5,000 a month is, you know, the recurring fee that you have to be ready to pay to go there. And I'm a director and I'm the chief evangelist, but, you know, the audience I built in 2006 is still fueling an agency in 2022, and it just crossed 1 million recurring annual revenue. So there's another seven figure small added to the roster. But yeah, I've partnered the entire way, and it's curious to me why more people don't take advantage of it, because there's obviously a lot of benefits to people who have an audience who are able to pick good partners and good deals, and, you know, leverage and benefit the audience in new ways with complementary skill sets. But there's also benefits to people who have the complementary skill set, right? Like Jared runs community, Trudy's head of content, right? You know, the three of us together can do more than one person alone. And in my opinion, you know, more than if I would just have hired a freelance community manager or, you know, just worked with freelancers on the content side.
Right. I'm curious though, Brian. I mean, that seems like kind of an easier way to path in some ways, right? Just to hire somebody or, you know, just outsource. So the whole partner thing, just to reiterate, I'm just curious. That's obviously your secret sauce. So I'm just curious why you never went down that route. Why you never went with employees or whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting because the real estate business that I had before I started Copyblogger made me miserable because, you know, everyone was either a partner or an independent contractor. That's how brokerages work. But I was in charge of that whole circus and I hated it. I hated every bit of it. So when I started Copyblogger, I swore I would never have employees. I was only going to do joint ventures and partnerships with people. Again, really the seven-figure small model that we talk about now is the idea I had in 2006. And then I stuck with that, you know, the first startup with teaching sales in 2007. Then there was Thesis in 2008, then Scribe in 2009. All those companies were just partnerships with contractors to help with support. With Scribe, we actually did have one employee. That was Chris, who was a coder that was working with Sean already. So that was kind of a legacy situation. But then I broke my own promise. And next thing you know, we've got a 65-person firm. And thank goodness for Tony Clark, my COO, because he understood, let Brian play to his strengths and, you know, I'll develop the systems and the processes or whatever. But so, yeah, technically, when I came back from sabbatical, I could afford to hire people, but I was more dead set after the great experience. It honestly was the best experience of my life. It was the most trying, but it was also fantastic to build and run that company. But no, don't want to do that no more. I would need to find another Tony, basically, you know, someone who would run operations. And again, that's just another way of partnering to get where you're going. But yeah, I not only do not like managing people, I'm just not good at it. But also, as I kind of mentioned earlier, when you've got a company with core functionality, in our case, community and content, I don't want to have to manage someone to do something that's mission critical. I want someone who has skin in the game to be handling what they do best. And, you know, it depends on your mindset, I suppose. People who get weird about giving up equity or you know, giving up a slice of the pie to people, that's a mindset. To me, it doesn't make a lot of sense because my goal is in every partnership that I'm going to make more money than I would have made without you, or I shouldn't do the partnership. And that's always what I've promised my other partners. You know, with I've got the audience, you've got the product, I'm going to make you more money at 50% than you would have made at 100%. And if you can't promise that, then you really shouldn't do it. But that's the idea. So you've got better people than you could hire, in my opinion, right? Mm-hmm. You can attract someone who's pretty badass with equity that you might not be able to get in a freelancer or a contractor. And again, they've got other clients and they've got no skin in the game, you know, and you got to manage them, right? So it keeps coming full circle back to the situation where a very small team that's at the equity level, I think, can make more for everyone than being stingy with the equity and trying to keep it all to yourself, going into debt right from the beginning. Because if you got a startup and you hire employees or contractors right from the beginning, you're going in the hole, right? I like to get to profitable as soon as possible. And again, you can work faster with a team of co-founders or partners than you would otherwise. But think about most tech startups. Even when they're planning on raising money, you'll see two or three co-founders, right? A team. Mm-hmm. I think the old cliche is you need like a strategist or a hustler kind of person, the face of the company. You need a designer and you need a coder. For us, it's content more than code. Although the coding thing was two of those initial three startups with I had partners who could code. It's a smart decision for people, even when they know they're going to go raise money and give up even more equity. But it's because if they don't get that raise and they can't develop a minimum viable product or a prototype, then they're what's the point of doing it? So I think there's a little bit of stingy mindset, and you know that's a scarcity mindset instead of an abundant mindset. You know, all the money in the world is out there to be made. So I don't get hung up on right. on those aspects of it. But yeah, that's basically my reasoning. And I enjoy it. If I were working by myself and only contractors, it would be, I don't need that many people, but it would be lonely, I think.
Yeah. Well, and listen, flip side, you know, let's talk about scarcity mindset. From the freelancer side, from the person that partnered with somebody with a big old audience, that's me, you, Jared, when you coming in, that was the smartest thing I've ever done. I mean, and I have plenty of clients. I could just do client work until the cows came home, but I didn't have any skin in the game, like you're saying. And I'm not part, it becomes very boring in a lot of ways when you're just a service provider, right? When you're just kind of stuck in that one tier of the personal enterprise and thinking to yourself, well, this is good. I'm making some dough. I'm six figures. I'm going to push up there. You know, it's the only, my opinion, the only way to really scale yourself, to scale your opportunities, is to partner and to bring your valuable service. And that's, you know, this is an opportunity that I got just because I asked, because I long admired you, Brian, and you, Jared. And I just sent a fangirl letter, honestly, and said, can I help? What are you looking for? Can I do anything?
Yeah.
And Brian happened to say, yeah.
And then you put up with me for years, toiling away.
Years
with minimal guidance.
Saying there was
she learned how to mimic my writing style, even. I mean, it was really impressive, but that was a great thing. Trudy's like, Brian never talks to me, and I'm like, man, I don't ever have to talk to Trudy. And see, I'm seeing it as a benefit.
That's
meaning
right.
I don't have to tell her what to do. I don't have to correct her writing. I mean, I used to edit you at the beginning, but you picked up on my hints and peculiarities really quickly. So yeah, that's kind of the way it worked out. So maybe not everyone would have put up with me for that before that you got the actual equity thing. But yeah, you know, I mean, I think the person with the audience, that's been me since 2006, you know, I feel that that's been the major blessing of my life, that I'm the one with the most leverage and opportunity, because that's what a lot of people struggle with. They need someone to reach with their skills, and whether or not that's been, you know, easy situation on the marketing side or what have you. The thing, and we can talk about this more in a bit, but you know, everyone's like, even I have been thinking recently about why freelancers and coaches and consultants struggle so much with marketing. It's because they're tired and they don't have time to go create all this content that they're told they have to create as a marketing function, even if it's just a post a week or what have you. You know, it's it can be rough. I remember for my real estate business, it's just such a traditional business and there's not a lot of mystery to it. So I had site content that explained my kind of unique benefits of working with me and my brokerage. And then I had an email sequence for first-time buyers, which ran about 30 days, and one for relocating people, which ran a year. And for the next 4 years, I don't think I ever touched that content. And it's a good thing because I was working my ass off the entire time, you know. And I would have never had time to change my marketing. This was the days before the onslaught of content that we started preaching at Copyblogger. But again, it was a different time. Web 2.0, lots of opportunity to be had at that time if you knew what you were doing. So So I look for people, you know, that have complementary skills, and usually they have to approach me, which is what happened all throughout 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, just over and over and over again. It's like almost too good to be true. But I did my best to make the most of it and make all those people millionaires. You know, I mean, I feel like I held up my end of the bargain. But yeah, freelancers, coaches, and consultants, they should be seeking out partnerships with the creators, the content creators, and vice versa, right? I mean, freelance writers could crush it with this strategy. I mean, I guess it's sort of what you did with me, but I'm talking about like someone who does, I don't know, say you've got a really talented designer, but they hate marketing and they don't have time to do it, you know, create a tiny little agency. It's really just a marketer and the designer, right? To bring in more business. All sorts of consultants have expertise, you know, but they struggle with marketing. You know, that's an opportunity to go to these kind of people and say, hey, I've got an audience building strategy that's going to bring you more and better clients. You don't have to mess with this marketing stuff. I'm going to make you more money with 50% than you would make right now with 100%, and you'll be happier and you'll work less. That's a pretty damn good pitch, right? Why isn't this happening more, Trudy? What do you see out there in the freelance writer mindset?
Yeah, well, 100%. I mean, what you were just saying really resonated with me, Brian, because you're not the first person that I've approached. I actually was I've been on several websites as part of the team for design agencies, for a PR agency, two in particular I'm thinking about. And they were working with me as a freelancer. And I never said to them, how about a little piece of the pie? How about some partnership? I'm not just an independent contractor. You have me on, you know.
Right.
I can be on your site. I can make you look like we can be a team and still have complete autonomy. And had that been the case, I know for a fact I would have thought of it like I think of Movement Ventures as mine. Mm-hmm. ownership mentality. Yeah. And I think that it didn't even occur to me, honestly, that I could ask that question. And
I think people are more receptive.
Ended up not benefiting the way that I could have or should have.
I mean, I think it's beneficial in the startup situation, which we've covered. But, you know, again, there are solo freelancers, consultants, coaches out there that are very talented people, but they're just struggling, you know, and you have to have a way to interact with these people to evaluate them to see if it would be a good match personality wise and otherwise. But if you can find someone who's really badass at what they do and they just suck at marketing or just don't have time or energy for it, that's a partnership in the making.
So this does sound awesome and obviously is awesome when it works, but how do you actually go about evaluating partners, finding and evaluating them? You know, it's like your experience with me and Trudy is interesting. I mean, you had a long time to work with us and evaluate us before we officially became partners. But what's your process for that?
In two different contexts, right?
Yeah.
For people who don't know, Jared was VP of marketing at Copyblogger Media. Actually, he started doing hosting support, right?
Was
hosting
that the support, baby? That's
and then
right.
He started writing, and then that was amazing. And then again, Trudy just, sent me the cold emails, I'm a fan of Further. Can I write for you? And I'm like, hell yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Actually, yep. I did the same thing.
You had one quality.
Said, no, you're on unemployable.
I was an ass kisser. You're an excellent ass kisser.
No. You were a Gen Xer. Jared was not. I could not make the leap. So I'm like, no, I need you over at, unemployable. But to answer your question, Jared, which is your prime directive, is community. You've got to find a way to interact with people in a little bit more substantial way than Twitter or, you know, I mean, you know, Facebook groups, I think, did well with this in a variety of niches. More and more people are moving off that environment with lots of good reasons. But more than starting a community, it's more like participating, right? So if you're interested in partnering up with a financial planner, say, then you've got to go to these forums and communities where these people hang out. Generally, they're struggling with marketing, right? It's like the promised land for someone with, again, the ambition and the strategy, as long as they've got that someone else's expertise to borrow. Because I think a lot of freelance writers, if they're much better at selling someone else than they sell themselves. I hear writers say that all the time. Even I'm still skittish about it. I can talk up someone else so much easier than talking about myself. But yeah, I think that's kind of full circle to what we're talking about. You don't need to wait on Web3 for community. They're all over the place. Mm-hmm. You've got Circle communities, Mighty Networks. Want to play around over there at Facebook? There's Facebook groups, right? You got to find your people and, you know, be a human, be helpful. You don't have to go over there and give away the farm, but when it comes to evaluating, I guess, Jared, that part of it, finding is you find them in community, but I also think evaluating. And then when you find someone that you think you might click with on all the levels, like this is the right expertise, this is the right profit motive, this is the right way that I can make this person more money than they're making up by themselves, then you got to get to know that person better. And then the final leap of faith, I don't know how to teach people that, right? Like you can strategically evaluate the entire thing from front to bottom, but you still have to do a gut check at the end because you're going to be working with these people. But most of the time, your gut's probably not going to lead you wrong. If the worst thing you can do is see red flags and then get the opposite side of greedy and go, I want to do it anyway, ignore the red flags, and then you're miserable a year later. So you got to do the gut check, I think, ultimately at the end, but it's really just an exercise in getting to know someone as both a human being and as a business person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And listen, as a freelancer, from my perspective, it's flipping your mindset a little bit. And it's saying, like, I bring, you know, full force to what I do. Is this somebody I want to loop in with? Is the audience an audience that I want to connect with? If it all aligns, then it's a leap of faith on your end too, because you're your own founder of your own freelance business. And now you're entering into a situation where you're going to co-found or at least participate in a business with somebody else. A lot of us left doing that a long time ago. We said, we're unemployable. We don't want to have bosses. Is this a boss situation? How is this going to work? So that's also on the other end. It's like feeling it out. Like, can I work the way I want? And if it's a true partnership, I mean, I do this all the time. Like, Brian, what do you think about this? And it's like, whatever you want. I trust you. Wow. Amazing. Great.
Yeah. I mean, my job is still to give some overall guidance, but with you and often with Jared too, it's just like, you know what the mission is and you know what your job is. So every once in a while, we'll have conversations where one of you will have an idea that's a little bit out of bounds. And then I'm sitting there trying to get you to justify it for me about why we should do it. But other than that, you'll say, I'm going to do this. And I'm like, yes, that is directly on mission. Right. You know, it's and that's a good feeling. Honestly, makes me feel like I've chosen well. Plus, we have fun.
Yeah.
If only we publish what we talk about before and after the episode.
Never.
Wait, which part's fun? The part where we come to you with an idea and you push back on it? Is that the part that's supposed to be fun?
I want to like it.
Oh, man.
Well, it's not that I don't want to like it. No, that's where I put you through the law school Socratic method torture Rubicon. You know, everyone's like, Why does he keep asking me why?
No, but those are great experiences. But that's the thing, you know, for Trudy and I, who haven't been down some of the roads that you've been down, it's great education for us too, and a great learning experience.
So, I like your attitude, Jared.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's what I'll say publicly on the podcast anyway. Yes.
There you go.
There we go. So I guess, you know, I'll leave you with this thought. Are you selling yourself short? Unemployable does not mean solo. Seven-figure small doesn't mean solo. In fact, I think when I think seven-figure small, you know, the whole concept of the no employer seven-figure business, which the numbers keep growing, it doesn't say one person by themselves. It just means no employees, generally no investors, but often a husband and wife team, a couple of co-founders. Again, you get that designer, strategist, you know, content person or coder person, depending on what you're trying to achieve. You just have to ask yourself, am I selling myself short and really not achieving what I'd really like to achieve because I'm all by myself? And like Trudy said, maybe just shift, flip that mindset a little bit and you'll see opportunity everywhere, especially if you're good at content, you're good at digital marketing. There's plenty of people out there with expertise and profitable skills who could use more business, and you could do it together with them. Something to think about, just a little bit different perspective, especially if you're kind of head down right now, just trying to keep your head above water, right? Which I guess is an oxymoron. You know, you don't have to go it alone, and it may not even be the optimal situation whatsoever. So just remember, can 50% of this make me more than 100% of what I'm doing now? If you can get a good answer on that, then look around. You'll see them everywhere. I'm about to read an oral history of Superbad. That's where my level of content consumption is going.
I heard it's a radio.
That's a very good article.
It actually sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah. What?
That article.
Have you ever seen Superbad?
Oh yeah, no, Superbad's yeah. Great.
Okay. That's hilarious.
But no, it sounds like
I forgot how filthy it is though. Those kids.
So filthy. So filthy. I have like a little book from it. It's the dirtiest thing ever. I don't know where.
Like, I think there's the John Hughes movies and then Superbad. There was like, I don't know. Well, there were some 90s, like 10 Things I Hate About You and Clueless, I guess.
Yeah.
Mean Girls.
American Pie was kind of supposed to be like
that. Heathers was so freaking twisted and gross.
I hate it. What is?
Heathers was so twisted.
Oh, Heathers was awesome.
You changed your name to McLovin? McLovin? What kind of a stupid name is that, Fogel? What, are you trying to be an Irish R&B singer?